Well, that didn't exactly go great, did it? Merry Christmas. I'm going to talk about this Celtics loss to the Brooklyn Nets on this Christmas night. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here. I cover the Boston Celtics and host this Locked On Celtics podcast, usually a daily Monday through Friday podcast, but a little different format this week because I wanted to give you a post-game podcast today. Because it's Christmas. Because it was the Nets. Because this was supposed to be a big game, a great game, and it was almost. But usually it's a Monday through Friday podcast. So if you're a new listener, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy it. You're going to get podcasts Monday through Friday. Regular listeners, I appreciate you sticking with the show, following the show, sharing the show, rating, reviewing, and all of that good stuff. This one was going to follow a somewhat similar format. The good in the first segment, because there was some good, bad in the second segment. That might be a longer one. And then in the third segment, I'm going to save that one for Casey Jones, who we lost on Christmas Day. The legends, we're losing our legends, and it's pretty sad. So I don't want to end on a downer, but we're, you know, we have to talk about Casey Jones. But first, let's talk about this game here. And so the Celtics lost this one 123-95. It really wasn't as bad as that. So it didn't end well. I mean, it was a 28-point loss. The fourth quarter was a disaster, but it was close. 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter was a 3-point game. And then the Brooklyn Nets made a little bit of a run. The game was within reach for sure in the beginning of the fourth quarter. But then Kevin Durant scored like 8 straight points. Kyrie Irving went nuts. Over that stretch, Kyrie scored 18 points. Kyrie and KD combined for 26 points over the last 16.5 minutes. And the Celtics scored 25. So that's basically the story of the game. The story of the game is KD and Kyrie went nuts. The Celtics did not match that energy. The rotations. Let me say that for the second part of the segment. The second segment. The first segment here. Let's focus on the good stuff. The good stuff. All right, let's start with a happy note. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody who is celebrating. If you're not celebrating, if you're celebrating something else, you know, happy holidays to you as well. This is a happy time. So let's start with happy stuff. Jaylen Brown, I think, is the happiest of the happy stuff. He has looked fantastic to start the season. He, in this game, was 11 of 25, did not hit a three, which is not great. He was not great from the line, but generally speaking, offensively, 27 points, hit 8 rebounds, 5 of them offensive, hit 3 assists, I thought only 2 turnovers, and a block. Jaylen Brown has been the Celtics' best player over the first couple of games. He has been just astonishingly good. I raved about him after the first game and his pick and rolls. And in this game, he did something else that we haven't seen before, where snakes a pick and roll and then rises up and hits a skip pass to the opposite corner and, you know, assists on a three-pointer. That's the type of pass that we saw like Gordon Hayward making. And I think that Jaylen is just showing us a ton more than I expected. And I know some people want to snipe at me and call me a disbeliever. It's not about belief or not belief. It's about looking at what's in front of you and saying, okay, this is this guy's skill set. And a few years ago, there's no way that anybody can look at what Jaylen Brown was 3-4 years ago and say that this was the type of player that he was going to be at this point in his career. The only people who said that are the people who had just the blind faith in him. Okay, fine. But we can believe in a lot of things, and they don't always come true. I was looking at it analytically and saying, here's a guy who just really cannot dribble. 2-3 dribbles was his max. Now he's navigating pick and rolls. So credit to him for working at it and developing these skills and growing as a player. Just because I would say I don't think he can doesn't mean that it's, oh, you're a doubter or a hater. But Jaylen Brown has become a player that none of his performance prior to these past couple of seasons would indicate that he was going to become this type of player, a high usage, ball handling, distributing kind of guy. So kudos to him for taking the, it's almost like each year he develops like 2 years worth. And even in this short off season, he just, I don't know what he did. I don't know if he's just been dribbling around the house or what, but he's really worked at becoming a more dynamic player, which is awesome because that's what he's become. And now people are talking about this James Harden stuff. Why would you want to give up Jaylen Brown at his age for the amount of money you've spent on him? Why would you want to give that up when he fits your timeline with Jason Tatum? Now you've got Tatum and Brown who, like, I don't want to overreact to two games, okay? Because these are two great games for Jaylen Brown. But he'll have ups and downs like everybody does. But if this can be the guy that the Celtics consistently get, is he James Harden? No, but he's not so far away from James Harden, and I think that giving him and Marcus Smart and whatever else he needs to get to get James Harden, I don't think that's worth it anymore. I don't. Like, what Jaylen Brown is doing, he scored, what, 30 in the first game, 31, and now 27 in this game? So is he going to drop 40 on a consistent basis? Is he going to be a threat to drop 40 or 50 some nights? No, probably not. But considering everything else that Jaylen Brown does, first of all, defending, first of all, buying in to everything that the Celtics are doing, being a good teammate to all of these guys, being, you know, a perfect fit for Jason Tatum, I don't know. I don't know if that's worth, like, if you say Jaylen Brown for James Harden in a vacuum, sure, I get it. But, like, just the way he's playing right now, Pass. Because you have to give up so much that the value is just not there. I admit I'm so turned off by what James Harden has been doing and how he's been acting. It's not worth it to me. Moving on, because this whole segment can be about Jaylen Brown, and you know, it doesn't have to be. There are more podcasts coming next week. Much more Jaylen Brown talk to come. Grant Williams. How about Grant Williams with 4 assists? Grant Williams was dropping dimes in this game. Dropping dimes. The passing has been great. He has been attacking. He's been attacking closeouts, dribbling. You know, getting into spots where he's finding guys. The bounce pass that he made from the top of the right about the free throw line to Tatum for the dunk was gorgeous. Gorgeous. Beautiful stuff. So, got to shout out Grant Williams for seeing the floor in doing that. I mean, it's great. Shemi Ojeleye, another guy. You got to shout out Shemi Ojeleye, who was, in the first half especially, just really good, really important, doing, like, dynamic things. Like, he's finally figuring things out, it seems like. A nice bounce back from Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard went from he was like a god in his first preseason game. And then the second preseason game was like back down to earth. And in the opening night game was like, all right. And now it's, oh, okay. I get it. I get it. He hit 1-3. But he hit a couple of shots and, you know, nothing special, but hey, hit a couple of shots, play a little defense, get a couple of steals, get a couple of rebounds, have an assist, hit a three. Nice bounce back. Okay, that's all. Not going too crazy. Nice bounce back. You can see what Danny Ainge is looking at. You can see it. Okay, he plays a ton of energy. He's flying around. Maybe a little too undisciplined right now, because which of the NBA rookies has had anything besides like baptism by fire? He's just really just out there trying to hustle his way through some of these games and pick things up on the fly. So it's nice. Anything positive is nice. We also saw Aaron Nesmith, who was, you know, there. He missed one three. He took two shots, both three-pointers. He missed one horribly, which probably lamped up to get his first actual NBA action. Then he hit an actual three-pointer a little bit later. Okay, that's it. Nothing crazy. That's the good stuff. Again, maybe somebody from the outside's like, why are you so cheery about this loss? There were some good things. And I think on the last nice thing that I want to look at here, the first half offense in general, I thought was pretty good. They moved the ball a lot. They were really passing. 13 assists on 22 makes. They were missing a bunch of shots, but I thought that first half offense, you saw guys moving. I saw more of that stuff that I was talking about in that first post-game podcast, where that movement across the free throw line, you know, a wing passes it off to a big who gets a handoff and then turns around and gets a pick. Like that little action there is something that's a new wrinkle for the Celtics this year. It's they used it really well, and I think that's the same type of play where Tatum got that dunk. It became a fake handoff, and Tatum just kept working around. That little action can spawn a lot of different things. The offense in the first half was really moving. It didn't move a lot, and that brings us into the second segment, and the second half offense, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Are you somebody that likes to throw a little bit of money down on these games, on these NBA games or football games or wherever? You can get a little bit of an edge by subscribing to the new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You get daily picks, quick hitting advice on the smartest possible wagers. You can subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. The bad was bad in this game. And let me start with the second half offense. Second half offense stalled a bit more. The Celtics did not run, I think, as efficient an offense. We didn't see, like, a lot of these guys had all of their assists in the first half. The Celtics ended up with, 23 assists overall. But let me see, in the first half, I told you it was 13 assists, so just 10 in the second half. All of these guys who did have assists in the first half, suddenly in the second half, there were none. So Jaylen Brown had only one assist in the second half. Grant Williams had none. You know, these players that were kind of part of the first half popping, not so much. It wasn't going quite as well. They, after the game, Brad Stevens says, we got to lower our offense, which I think means just bring it down to, don't start your offense so high up. You got to bring it down into the paint a little bit more. I think it's funny because we talk about initiating stuff way, way up at 35 feet for somebody like Jason Tatum, and Brad Stevens is doing something different. He's bringing it into the paint. When the Celtics got paint touches, good things happen. How many times have you heard me say that on this podcast or write it somewhere? When the Celtics get the ball into the paint, good things tend to happen. Okay? Things collapse, and then that's where your kickouts come. And the Brooklyn Nets are not going to be a great defensive team. They have some good defensive players, but overall, there are going to be opportunities to score. Now, the Nets obviously were making a ton of shots, and they shot 54% on the game, and the Celtics shot 38% on the game. So that is not going to be conducive towards winning. Kyrie Irving hitting 13 of 21 shots. Kevin Durant hitting 9 of 16. I mean, you're not going to survive that. So the first half was a lot better. The second half, the Celtics, I think they let their defense suffer because their offense was bad. And the offense became bad, worse, after the defense suffered. It was kind of like this perpetual kind of like self-defeating type of performance there. And the Celtics would let missed shots, bad foul calls or no foul calls linger. And those were the bad habits. The first half, we saw so many good habits. Second half, we saw so many bad habits. Things that it's hard to do. It's hard to say, hey, I'm going to let this foul call, this non-call go after, you know, you've missed 2-3 shots and then you get to the rim. And this is what Jason Tatum was doing a lot. I felt like Jason Tatum probably did get fouled a couple times. No call. And then he would look back at the ref and complain. And wasn't quite as demonstrative as he had been in the past. But at the same time, still clearly bothered him. And I think that feeds into bad defense, which lets Kyrie and KD go off. And then those guys going off puts pressure on the offense to start scoring, or else they're going to keep making their run. Every time you miss, or every time you think you should have been at the free throw line, and that leads to some sort of screw up on the other end, and Kevin Durant just waltzes in for a dunk, then you turn around and you say, well, we got to get that back. And you break away from your offense and you start taking earlier shots and not the exact type of threes that you're looking for. You're not getting those inside out threes that you're looking for. It all just keeps going downhill, downhill, downhill. That's what we saw. That's what the fourth quarter was. Just a constant, just it got away from them. Now, part of why it got away from them is rotations. I'm not sure that, you know, Brad Stevens is running like regular, whatever his regular rotations would be. I don't think that he's going to be running some of these combinations out that he did. Like, I think he threw Aaron Nesmith in hoping that he would kind of get hot and hit some shots. And I thought I got to watch it again. I got to watch the game again, really focus on Nesmith to see like where he's screwing up and why he's not getting those minutes. But he did. He grasped at Javonte Green. Javonte Green, who started 2 preseason games, now all of a sudden on the bench, didn't DNP in the first game. Now Brad in the third quarter, I think it was the third quarter, throws Javonte in to try and change some of the energy. You know, Javonte's in there. Peyton Pritchard went in there with him, trying to get some energy and boost these guys because it was very clear that the Celtics were starting to lag a little bit. So that kind of threw things off. And when Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown were on the bench, the things just didn't work. When they came back in late in the game, I thought the Celtics really had a chance because Jaylen Brown hit a couple of shots, you know, back to back. They were getting to the rim again. And they were really starting to pop again. I liked the offense a lot more when those guys came in, but not enough. It wasn't enough. So still a lot to figure out. After the game, the guys were positive. It's like, look, it's only the second game. We've got a long way to go. We feel better about where we were a week ago. Because remember, a week ago, they got smoked by these same Brooklyn Nets. At least in this one, they were still close with, you know, late in the third quarter. So we tend to overreact. They take a much longer term view. So it is what it is. We'll leave it there. They do have a lot of work to do, but they can't get down. They just can't get down on themselves. They've got to remember, this is what worked. Got to go and do the things that worked. Simple. Jeff Teague, we all liked him better when he was hitting all of his shots. You want to blame me for it? My bad. I jinxed him. he was 0-for in this game. So Jeff Teague was not good in this. I'm going to bet that this is really just the Jeff Teague experience, that some days he's going to look terrible and some days he's going to look great. And it's a lot different when he's getting in there and there's still a Jared Allen at the rim to prevent him from taking some of the shots. He only took one three-pointer, so he missed it. That's going to happen. I think this is going to be just how Jeff Teague is. I think just generally, I don't want to harp too much on the bad, because the worst of it came during one stretch. I thought in the first half, I thought they played fairly well. They just missed a lot of shots. They really, you know, this is the make-miss league stuff. They were smoking bunnies. They missed a ton of layups. I mean, I want to see what their chart. They did chart a lot in this game, but I look at the shot chart and I do see a ton of shots in the paint. I mean, I look at this, 21 for 46 in the restricted area. I mean, that's pretty bad. They need to be a lot better than 21 of 46. And they just didn't shoot well from anywhere on the floor. But they got to the rim a bunch or were trying to get putbacks. There were a lot of putback attempts that didn't fall. So I'm not going to go too crazy about this and start losing my mind, because they had opportunities. If a few of these tip-ins, if a few of these layups go in, if a couple of those calls go Boston's way, then, you know, maybe the entire dynamic of what happens in this game changes. But I will say this. No matter what, Jason Tatum has to get to the line. He just has to get to the line. We've played two full NBA games, and he hasn't gone to the free throw line once. Now, he did get into the paint, but I think, honestly, like, he is also trying to avoid contact a little bit. Like, he thinks he's getting fouled, and he probably is. But when you look at how the best free throw shooters, the guys who get to the line the most, what are they doing? Well, James Harden is grifting a bit, but he's going through guys. Giannis Antetokounmpo goes through guys. Jason Tatum needs to start going through guys. Okay? You're big now. You've got plenty of muscle. Don't keep, you know, he goes up for a layup on the left side and he throws that arm way out and then tries to flick it up over guy. You gotta just go through. A lot of times what referees are going to call is how the contact impacts the shot. Like, that's when you're trying to draw fouls. How many times have we seen a ref wait for the result of the shot to go in before calling a foul? Those late whistles. I hate those things. But you know why they do that? Because you can't just call every bit of contact. Because then you're going to get the complaints of, like, oh my God, put the whistles away. Right? So some of those are like incidental, and you say, all right, we're going to let it go. If the shot goes in, we're going to let it go. And the shot misses, then we got to call it because you impacted the shot. So that happens a fair amount of times. And when Jason Tatum goes up through the rim and puts his arm way out and flicks his shot up, it doesn't matter if he's got contact down below, he still got the shot off. And so the referees are going to be like, well, I mean, you got the shot off. You didn't get hit on the arm. You didn't, like, yeah, you get jostled a little bit, but you got a strong looking shot off. It doesn't look like it got impacted. I don't know. Like, I don't think they're going to call a lot of those. He needs to start going through guys. and make it so they're impacting the shot. Maybe just try to dunk over people. But you got to get to the line. You got to get to the line. You know, he had 20 points. The counting numbers look good. You say, all right, hey, look, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. He had 3 turnovers, but it's not horrible. Didn't shoot great, but, you know, not bad. But 0 free throw attempts. Like, that's not going to be. We're talking about this should be a year where Tatum, or could be a year where Tatum starts forcing himself into the MVP conversation. Now, in the first game, he had a little bit more of that. In this game, no, you can't not get to the line. Because if he got to the line 6 times, I mean, look at Kevin Durant, who is obviously Kevin Durant. And so, you know, I don't want to sit here and be like, hey, go be like Kevin Durant. But hey, that's the level you want to get to, right? He took 9 free throws. So he hits 9 shots and gets, you know, Jason Tatum hits 9 shots. Kevin Durant obviously hit a couple more 3-pointers, but got to the line 8 times, 8 free throws, 29 points versus Tatum's 20. Durant, when you get to the line, you're forcing the issue. He's got to be, it's not that he's not aggressive enough. Tatum got into the restricted area like 8 or 9 times. Got to go through people. Got to go through people. Casey Jones is a great example of a person who would go through people. We lost Casey Jones on Christmas Day, and it's a horribly sad day. I'm going to talk a little bit about Casey Jones when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast, please go do that. Not only do I host the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. It's a fun show that we do on Wednesdays. I love doing the show with Jake. But we've got rotating hosts, so every day, Monday through Friday, is a little something different. And we're all looking at that night in the NBA, looking at that day's games, looking at all the games, looking at games coming up, all the big storylines. If you want to hear the league covered like nowhere else, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, please. We lost Casey Jones, another legend in Celtics history, is gone now. Casey Jones died at 88 years old. Apparently had been sick for the past few years. So when you heard Danny Ainge talking about Casey Jones, he said flat out, like, Casey's in a better place now. He'd been struggling for a bit. But still sad to lose a legend. Now, many of you obviously know Casey Jones as the head coach during the Big Three era. He won 2 championships as head coach with the Boston Celtics, 84 and 86. That was, you know, if you're my age, in your 40s, that's how you got to know Casey Jones. Mild-mannered guy, never really looked for any of the spotlight, didn't care. He knew, because he was a former player, he knew what players needed. He knew how to deal with egos because, hey, he'd played with some of the best ever. He knew how to deal with guys, and he was quiet and all of that. And, you know, they call him like a gentle genius, but he's a tough, tough guy and was never afraid to challenge somebody. Casey Jones, the player, similarly underrated, but his number, 25 is in the rafters for a reason. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Because defensively, he was unparalleled. I call him the Marcus Smart of his time. The tenacious, do anything to win type of player. They were of the same mold. And what Casey Jones did in that era, it's unprecedented. Unprecedented. He was the point guard version of Bill Russell, basically. And a lifelong teammate of Bill Russell. He and Bill Russell were together throughout all of it. Now, they almost weren't. And if you've read my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, I mentioned this in that book. I do mention Casey Jones in here as a potential candidate for the team. I've written a bio for him on RedsArmy.com when we were doing the Retired Numbers Project. He was a member of the, at that point, St. Louis Rams. He tried out for the Rams in the NFL, and he figured out, like, the rules allowed for a defensive back. He was obviously a defensive back to touch, bump, push receivers before the ball was in the air. And so Casey Jones was the first defender to ever put a hand on a receiver. Receivers were used to not being touched, and they would complain about him, like, knocking them around and being able to keep up with them. So they complained. The coach looked at the rule book, said, nope, he can do it. And so he kept on doing it. And Casey Jones said that he had an injury that if he had continued to play football, it would have gotten worse. So he decided to call up Red Auerbach and said, hey, is there still a spot for me? The Celtics had drafted him 2 years prior. He went to the Army and then came back and tried out for the NFL. If Red had said no, he would have gone to the Rams, and he probably would have been one of the best defenders in the NFL history. But to this day, bump and run coverage, that's Casey Jones. Casey Jones is the guy that basically invented bump and run coverage. He's the one that said, hey, you can touch receivers off the line. You make it hard for them. And he did. So then he comes to Boston and wins 8 championships with Bill Russell before retiring. He won 2 as an assistant coach, and then he won the 2 as a head coach. So 12 championships. That's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. Multiple college championships. Also an Olympic gold medal. So no one has ever won the NCAA championship, NBA championship as a player, NBA championship as an assistant, NBA championship as a head coach, and the gold medal. No one. Just Casey Jones. Pretty impressive, man. Pretty impressive. But he was always the unheralded guy, but very Marcus Smart. Very Marcus Smart. Because Bill Russell would get all the credit as the defender blocking shots, which obviously he deserved. And at that point, he's playing with Havlicek and Sam Jones and Tommy Heinsohn. And, you know, he was backing up Bob Cousy. And, you know, he took over for Bob Cousy as after he retired. He was part of the first all-black starting lineup in NBA history. I mean, he's been there for all of these huge moments. But people, I think, just see him as the former coach, and because he was not much of an offensive player, there aren't, like, defensive stats that you could look up and go, oh, wow, you know, all of these steals or all of these shots that you prevented. But he was an integral part of that era's Celtics. Remember, the Celtics back then wanted to run like crazy. You had to get the stops, and those stops didn't always come from Bill Russell. They came from Casey Jones as well. And Casey would find the guys and distribute and keep the Celtics on top. So, you know, he never really sought out the credit, but he deserves it. He deserves it. And, you know, it's just sad to see these legends start to pass because they are just so important to NBA history and Celtics history. And so I want to say thank you to Casey Jones for all of your contributions to the game of basketball and to the Boston Celtics. It's an immeasurable loss for the sport. I want to thank everybody for listening to this special edition. I don't always do post-Friday game podcast, so this is a little something different because it's Christmas. I wanted to give you a little gift, a gift of a podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new, please subscribe. Wherever you found this podcast, you can subscribe. Also follow on Spotify if that works for you too. You can tell your smart device to play the latest episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast. That also works. All of you regular listeners, really appreciate that. The sharing and the reviews and the 5-star ratings. I mentioned my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It is available everywhere. People have been buying it. People, I think, have finished it. It's not a long book. It's an easy read. You could probably finish it in a weekend if you wanted to. So please pick it up. If you've picked it up, I'd love for you to give it a review on Amazon because you know how people are. If they see that people have read it and they review it on Amazon, then they're going to pick it up. So that would really, really help me out a lot. So thanks for listening and all of that other stuff. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.